Ah, hallelujah. Are you refreshed?
Yes.
Not refleshed, refreshed. You get refreshed when you press in. Your heart changes when you touch his heart. Oh, hallelujah. Ah, this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Happy Resurrection Day to everyone. It is a day of remembrance. Remembrance. You know, many of the world is out there chasing bunnies and rabbits and eggs and chocolate and foolishness, paganism, carnality, deception. Because the world celebrates paganism, we celebrate truth. There's a difference. And in the day of celebration, every day is a day of celebration. It's not just one event. Because everything that Jesus does is continuous. We look at so many things because carnally thinking, we think when something happens, that's that. But when God does something, it's not that. It is. It continues. It doesn't just stop. It continues because he's eternal. And when he does something, it's the purpose of eternal. When he died on the cross, it wasn't for one moment. It was for everything. Forever. His promises are forever. He is forever. And those who choose to follow him will be forever also. Amen? Oh, praise God. Would you grab your swords this morning and turn to John 1. John chapter 1. Ooh. There was joy in my spirit today. Of course, there's joy every day in my spirit. But there's joy in my spirit because so many people have finally gone to church. You know, the people that show up to church three times a year. Easter, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. You know, praise God. Many people are in church today. And I pray that all traditions will be moved aside and everybody gets slam dunked in the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. Amen. See? Whew, God, it's hot in here. I pray they get slam dunked in the Holy Ghost and can't speak in English for 3 days. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, would you read it with me, please? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. Darkness cannot comprehend light. What happens with darkness is it gets exposed with light until we choose to become the light or part of the light. In verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and this man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. That word believe means follow. That all might follow him. Remember when Jesus showed up, he didn't say believe me, he said follow me. You know, it's amazing that people just think belief. Well, I believe. Well, if you believe, you follow. Belief is not an area of some mystical thing. Belief is an action. And in this action, it means that we follow. If I believe something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow it. If there's stuff I say I believe it but not do it, it means I don't really believe it. I'm not following it. Hallelujah. Verse 8. And he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. The world did not what? The world didn't know him. The world didn't even know their own creator. That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Hey, didn't you make me?
Think about it. You made me, and I don't even know you. That should be not like an instinct thing, isn't it? You know, it should be like, man, there's something about you. Yes, I made you. But he came to the world, and the world didn't even know who he was. Verse 11. He came to his own, and his own didn't even receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. In other words, those who follow his name. Believe means to follow. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh, God became flesh, the one that created me and you became flesh, and dwelt among us, and he beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, I'm going to make it real simple. It was almost like God was there going, man, my children are way out there. They're lost. Living outside of salvation's truth is lost. So they were not living in salvation's truth. They were living outside of salvation's truth, meaning that they were lost. And he says, man, they're way out there. So one of the things that the Lord did is he said, I will send to the seen temporary realm. I'll send in there where my children abide. I'm going to send a decree. And in this decree that I send will justify them the moment they accept my life, my death, and my resurrection. The moment they accept my life, my death, and resurrection, I'm going to justify them. I will justify them. And I'm going to justify them that whatever they've done, wherever they've been, they're going to be justified. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to accept and I'm going to release righteousness so that they know that they are accepted by me. It doesn't matter what they've done. That's all I ask, is that they receive and accept the decree of my life, my death. If they accept that decree, and when they accept that decree, I will justify them. See, there is a spiritual justification that was released to anyone willing to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen? Again, that's all they needed to do is accept his life, his death, and his resurrection. That was the purchase price. He said, I will pay for them. So that was, and in that arena of that moment, when they accepted that, they were justified. Now he says, now I want you to maintain this justification. And that would be that to maintain them under, he says, under my grace. As long as they follow the eternal truth, because the Word who became flesh brought grace and truth. He says, so as soon as they accept my life, death, and resurrection, I will justify them. Now, to maintain that justification, you must follow my truth, obey my truth. Has everybody got it? Which is grace and truth. Justification, he says, is the believing sinner is righteous and accepted before him. That's justification, as soon as they accept him. So every one of us is a sinner, right? Well, he says, well, look at it. If once you're justified, I look at you as righteous and accepted. It's over and done with. Now maintain it. Maintain it all the way through. By what? Obeying the truth. By following me. Now you're under grace. See, because truth, by obeying truth and following truth, it maintains me and you under grace. Because grace is God's plan. Amen? So he says, now you're abiding in my plan. Because that's what I came to do. You could not abide in my plan until I first justified you. When he justified us because we accepted his life, death, and resurrection, immediately we are justified to be accepted as children of the Most High God and follow him, that we would be under grace, fulfill his plan, and obey truth all the way through. In Romans 3, hallelujah, in Romans 3, you know, I remember going to church in another realm. And it was like, man, you'd go to the church and everybody show up with purple. And they'd wear these purple sombreros. And you'd have to duck, make sure you didn't get hit. People would turn around and slap you with something they were wearing on their heads. They showed up in their array. It's like they emptied out their closet and wore it all at one time. Religion. Thank God we wear the garment. We wear the eternal garments. See, you can hang all your swords and full armor at that door when you come in here, but you put it back on when you leave. In here you wear your priestly garment, the garment of righteousness, your wedding garment. In Romans chapter 3, oh, praise God. just had a flash moment of the other realm I used to live in. Verse 19. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So the law exposed sin. It told us that we sinned. But see, so many times there's an arena where we try to justify ourselves by the things that we do good. But in the eyes of God, it doesn't mean squat. It doesn't mean squat. Even the word tells us that though I pray in tongues and though I go out and feed the poor and though I do all of these things but do it not in love, it means nothing. Amen. See, the world lives on a self-justification. Those who are not of the world live on the justification that he paid, not what we paid. Amen. There's a difference. Let's go a little further. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all, and then all who believe, there is no difference. And all who what? Believe means all who follow, there's no difference. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being what? Justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God sent forth a propitiation by his blood. By his what? Blood. Through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Wow. And the one who has faith. In other words, we are justified by him, not by ourselves. These works, you know, that's where people so many times say, you can talk to someone and say, well, I'm a good person. Well, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Well, I don't need Jesus. I'm a good person. Well, that's self-justification. That's also associated with self-righteousness. Self, me, myself, and I. It's what I do that justifies me. Not anymore. It's what he did that justifies me, but it's what I obey which keeps my connection so that justification is being manifested and I'm covered by grace all the way home. There's a difference. You know, it grieved me that I'm hearing some people and even people who declare and preach that do not take the word of God to fact, literally. They take it oratorically or something like that. Something. They take it as a story. They think it's just a story. So they do self-justification. They don't think that they need to know the promises of the Word of God. They don't need to know the history of Christ. They think that everything is just okay. And so they come to church 3 times a year in fellowship, which the Word says, forsake not to assemble, because they're still doing their will, not the will of God. Because they're still being led by how they feel, and the world lives by feeling, not by truth. There's a difference. They live by feeling and not by truth. They live by sight and not by faith. They live by survival and not by surrender. Is everybody okay? But their justification are by those who follow and practice the truth by faith. In Romans 4, in verse 1, would you read it with me? What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was what? Justified by works, in other words, good deeds, he has something to boast about, but not before God. So what you do for good deeds to boast about means nothing before God. It's whether you're obeying what he is saying. Verse 3. But what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for what? Righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as what? As debt. Because people believe that their good works is what justifies themselves instead of being justified, but what Christ paid for me and you. Because he says something very powerful. He says, I bought you with a price. I bought you with a price. And he bought us by dying on the cross for me and you. In Romans 5. Is everybody there? Romans 5, verse 1. Let's speak it together, please. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we who also glory in tribulations, knowing that the tribulation produces what? Perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. That's why we don't run when we have troubles. We fight. Verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Does everybody see this? Let's go a little further. Verse 6. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled we shall be saved by his life. Saved by his life. In other words, saved by living his life. Verse 11. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Now, justified by faith leading to reconciliation with God Almighty. We are justified. We were pre-justified to those who accept his life, death, and resurrection. Allowed me and you to become children of God. Allowed me and you, even though we were sinners, to repent at any time. And always allowing the price that he paid to be activated every time. See, so when you pray, the reason why we pray in the name of Jesus is not because your prayer, it's because of what he's done. So when you say in the name of Jesus, the Father looks at the Son on the cross of what he's paid the price. Actually, he doesn't even need to look there anymore. He can look right next to him. High five. Good job. You justified your creation that they might be rescued. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? Come on now. Just think about parents and families that have children. You might even have a loved one. You might even know someone that one time somebody got in an accident and somebody tried to rescue and they just couldn't. In the pain, in the sorrow, in the memory of it. I remember one day my wife came home from the hospital. She was a surgical nurse, and she was telling me about a gentleman that he had 3 or 4 kids or whatever, and he was in the hospital burnt badly. And man, my heart cried out for him. And it happened was his kids were playing in a garage that started on fire. Was able to rescue a couple of them and the other one died. And it just devastated the family, caused problems in the family and everything. And I'm telling you, I said to Kate, I said, is it possible that I can go see this man? And when I so she made arrangements for me to go see him. When I walked in the room, I felt heat coming off of his body. I mean, that's how he was in such pain. Such pain. It was terrible. And all I could do was pray for him. And I would come back as much as I could, and I would pray with him and pray with him. But my heart, I realized that his pain right now is an outward pain of the flesh because it was singed and burned. And he was in such tremendous pain, and no medication would do anything. The only thing, he wanted to be put in a coma, but they couldn't do that. But then there was another pain, the pain of the inner pain, that he couldn't rescue one, couldn't rescue his child. That pain. That's the pain that God feels. For those he couldn't rescue. Do you know why? Because he uses me and you to rescue them. Disobedience prevents a rescue. Obedience promotes a rescue. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Let's go a little further. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Let's speak it together. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who what? Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, are there believers who say that they're believers, but walk according to the flesh? Well, then there's condemnation. Are there believers who walk according to the Spirit? Yes, there's no condemnation, and that's what he says. He says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in his flesh. That the righteous requirement, everyone say requirement. So is there a requirement? Yes. So Grace is not some magical, mystical thing then. There is a requirement, and it's called a righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who what? Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the... So the law is fulfilled as you walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. In other words, it's rebellious. It doesn't want to submit. It doesn't want to do the things of God. It just wants to do the things of itself. Me, myself, and I. Self-justification, self-righteousness. It's all about me. Amen? So we see here, so then those who are in the flesh cannot what? Please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit of God, and if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Go to verse 28. Let's speak it together. For we know that all things work together for good to those who what? Who love God. Those who love God, they work together. So if you love him, you obey him. To those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he what? He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also what? Justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Oh, praise be. See, the glorification that comes is called recognition. But the recognition that comes brings glory to Christ and everything that we do. Amen? And everything that we do. Everything must be about kingdom business. When your life is not about kingdom business, you're not a part of the kingdom. If your heart and your mind and your thoughts and everything that you do is associated with kingdom business, that means you're in the kingdom because you live for the kingdom. But if it's not according to the kingdom, that means you're not a part of the kingdom. You have your own kingdom. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. That's why Jesus paid the price. That you and I would access his kingdom and come out of the kingdom of darkness of self. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Hallelujah. Spiritual justification. What a price to pay for spiritual justification, huh? Whew. The ultimate price he paid for me and you. In verse 9, let's read it together. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Well, that just wipes out three quarters of the earth. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Looks like our government's all going to hell. It's pretty amazing, though. Think about this. And where are we at? Where are we standing right now? What is going on right now? Look at all the promotions that's going on. Same-sex marriage, abortions, all of these things that are being promoted. I mean, you turn the channel on any on TV anywhere, and it's all it is lust and promotions of these things. On every corner, pornography, all of these things that are promoting worldly ways to draw God's people out of the kingdom. In verse 11, would you read it? And such were some of you, but you were washed. Washed by what? The word. But you were sanctified by that acceptance. And you were what? Justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So we were sanctified and we were what? Justified. We were sanctified and we were justified. In other words, sanctified, being put aside. You are set apart. That's what separates us from the world. We are set apart from the world. We are sanctified. And when you're truly walking right with God, there are certain things that you just know that even though it's okay with the world, it's not okay with you. Because the reason why it's not okay with you, because it's not okay with God. Amen? In Galatians 2. Galatians chapter 2. Praise God. In verse 17. Let's go a little bit further back. In verse 15, We who are Jews by nature and are not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be what? Justified. You know, it's amazing because there's still organizations, belief systems, that say that if you do not go to church on Saturday, you're going to hell. There are still religious systems that say if you don't get baptized in water, you're going to hell. Well, that's under the law. That is certainly not under the grace of God. It's under law. And being under the law, there is no law. Why? Because you and I have been justified. So though if we're being led by the Spirit, the law has been fulfilled. Amen? That was the requirement. Jesus paid the price for me and you on the cross to fulfill the law that you and I would be led by the Spirit. And being led by the Spirit now, we become sons and daughters of the Most High God. And the exchange of that cross, and the exchange of that cross. Oh, glory. Let's go a little further. In verse 17, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. Certainly not. Hallelujah. In verse 18, read this with me. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Wow. In other words, if I build on those things that God has delivered me from and set in order things now, the things that I'm supposed to build on, I become a transgressor. In other words, I act, because a transgression is when you act and obey the presence of evil. And by becoming a transgressor, it brings a curse on you and your family line, which is called iniquity. Is everybody all right? Let's go a little further. Verse 19. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. For I have been crucified with Christ. Everyone say, I'm crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for righteousness comes through the law. Then Christ died in vain. So righteousness did not come through the law. Righteousness comes through Christ because we accepted his life, death, and resurrection. We're justified immediately by that. So everybody got it. In Titus chapter 3. Oh, glory. In Titus chapter 3. In verse 1. Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. Let's speak it together. It says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness of the love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, and through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. In these things, I want you to affirm constantly that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Now, these are the works of truth. These are the works of obedience. Has everybody got that? Amen? In Matthew 26, in verse 31, before Jesus' death and price that he was going to fulfill on the cross, in verse 31, he said to the disciples, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Pride. Pride. You know, one of the things that people don't realize that the powers of darkness have power. You know, we can be so foolish and to ignore that the enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy each and every one, especially those who are believers now. He is out to kill each and every one. He's after you. You're on his hit list. And to be so neglecting in the area that he does have the power to kill you, but salvation through Christ Jesus and the anointing of the Holy Spirit would give us power over him. But I tell you, he still looks for an open door. He still looks to access me and you. He's not giving up on me and you to kill us. Eventually, mankind, he will use mankind to kill one another. In fact, he uses it right now. I mean, it's kind of amazing that if we were to stand before somebody else in another country who was a warrior and they've been brought up just to kill. I mean, they live, they've been birthed, they've been brought up, they've been bred in the area of hatred. That's all they know. And they live, they go to school, and they've been taught that Jews and Christians must die. This is what they live for. And you can stand in front of them and try to talk to them human to human. Look, you're a human being and I'm a human being. But because of the powers of darkness and the demonic forces that now live in them, they feed off of hatred. You cannot convince them. The only thing that can be utilized is eternal words from God Almighty to change and break a heart to turn towards Christ. We hear many testimonies of this all over. God is love, not hatred. God is love. He died for me and you. If his purpose was hatred, there wouldn't be anyone left. He wouldn't have paid the price for me and you. But you can see in the world the difference. See, because other parts of the world don't even know what love is. They live in constant fear. They've heard of Jesus, but they don't know him as Lord and Savior. They don't know him as God. They know him as some man that preached. They might even know him as a prophet, but they don't believe it. In fact, there are religions that believe that Jesus is going to kill all Christians. It's an Islamic belief. He's going to promote the death of Christians when he comes back. They're going to be in for a real big surprise. Because the ruler of this world is Satan, and his kingdom rules this place. And the influence of the unseen realm must be evident to each and every one that there's something going on in the unseen. People try to struggle and fight and cure things just out of the natural instead of accessing the spirit. Well, you and I have been spiritually justified to access everything. It says that you and I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing and seated in heavenly places through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus the Christ. Nothing is withheld from us except for ignorance. Ignorance, selfishness, influence of demonic forces that hold us back. They're always trying to prevent us from moving forward. And Jesus, when he was with them, and he told them, and Peter's the one that stood up and said, "Lord, man, I love you. There ain't no way I'm going to stumble." In verse 34, Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." He says, "You're going to deny me three times, Peter, because you're trying to do it in your works, the works of your own flesh, the works of your own strength, because you're allowing your emotions to say you'll do anything, you'll hurt whoever tries to hurt me." And Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. Everyone in this room has denied Jesus even after you were saved, one way or another. You know, disobeying God is denying Jesus. In verse 36, "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, 'Sit here while I go and pray over there.' And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me.' He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass me by. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.' Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, 'What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?'" See, Peter already denied him before he even denied him. So he says, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. Again, A second time he went away and prayed, saying, Oh, Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Let me tell you something. Man cannot rescue you. He can carry the truth, but only the Christ can rescue me and you. So he left him and went away again, and he prayed the third time, saying the same words. And he came to his disciples, and he said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Again, you and I have all denied Christ, trying to do it in our own works. Jesus fought here in prayer because he paid the price for sanctification and justification and salvation for all mankind. It says he prayed three times. In other words, he was clearing the way for every chamber of the tabernacle, the eternal point, the eternal port to heaven. The tabernacle of God Almighty, the eternal port where no man is justified into heaven except for that who enters it. Again, he was clearing the way. He was making the way. He was clearing the area of our past. He was clearing the area of our present. And he was clearing the area for our future by prayer. It says that even while he prayed, he sweat blood. Jesus manifested his death on the cross, but he truly died in the garden. Because he first had to die to himself. Amen. He had to die to himself. And Christ, again, cleansed every area through his blood, the first chamber, through his word, the second chamber, and through his spirit, the third chamber, that we may all go through the port, the all tabernacle. Then he died on the cross and he went to hell 3 days, fulfilling the clearing away. And he rose again on the third day, that we all would have eternal life and resurrection life. He is resurrection. In other words, anything he touches that was dead can become alive. That's resurrection, because he is the life giver. And I want to close with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Nothing is impossible to those who believe. We know that we are in troublesome times here in this country and globally, but we must stand firm on the price that Christ paid for me and you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Starting at verse 1, would you read it with me? My brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know that what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. It is the presence of the body of Christ here on earth that is restraining. And now you know that what is restraining, that it may be revealed in his own time. Verse 7, for the mystery of the lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. One of the things that Jesus did on his death on the cross, his ascension, and when he descended into hell, and when he rose again, he fulfilled the first three feasts of the Lord, the feast of Passover, the feast of unleavened bread, and the feast of first fruits. After he rose again from the dead, 50 days later, he fulfilled another feast, the feast of Pentecost. That's when he poured out his spirit, and his church of the spirit started. The next feast that will be fulfilled is called the Feast of Trumpets. That feast is a removal, what we're talking about right now, that which was restrains evil will be removed from the earth, and the wrath of God will hit this earth. That's the next event. So people are out celebrating all kinds of events, but I'm telling you what, it's our responsibility to know the truth, to obey the truth, to follow the truth, and to have a relationship with the justifier and the life giver. Vitally important. We can play all the games we want. We can play religion. You can be angry with God. That doesn't change God. God doesn't change. You can wonder why certain things God didn't do. It doesn't matter anymore. It's what he's doing right now, whether you're willing to submit to and obey. Now. He's the God of now. Amen. In verse 9, it says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the power, according to the working of Satan, with all what? Power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the attaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work in Jesus' name. Spiritual justification. You have been justified. Maintain it. Access it. Don't look back. Go forward. Amen. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for your word today. We thank you for your price. And we thank you that you've given us life. Thank you so much. I pray today, Lord, that our seed that you've planted today would be imparted and protected by the blood, that it would grow and bear fruit for your glory. I pray, Father, today that your presence would be so tangible to your people, that you'd visit them in dreams and visions, and that the reality of spiritual justification will be manifested in each one's life today. I give you all the glory and honor and all the praise. And Lord, as we prepare our hearts for communion this morning, please bring your offerings up, give according to what God tells you, and stand fast and get ready for what he's getting ready to do. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.